There was two snows, was there?
There was one on midday after the other. Two of them was equally heavy.
So just how did the hardy residents of Ballyhillion survive when for the next 6 weeks they were stormbound?
Well, we'll take the average house and farmyard. Attached to or near by each farmhouse would have been outhouses for cattle, calves, horses, hens, ducks and geese. Now also close by would have been a haggard or garden with the stacks of turf or peat along stacks of corn, barley and hay. Stored in the barn or barns would have been potatoes, cabbage, turnips and a root crop called mangels. Not much of what you've seen and used today. Now mangels is something I haven't seen myself for donkey's years, and maybe a lot of people in here don't know what they are either, but they were a root crop. They were like an overgrown beetroot in a way. And they were fed to cattle and sheep because they were exceptionally high in water, plain honest to God water. So it meant that if during the summertime the water was scarce, or even in the wintertime, rather than carry water to horses and cattle, they were fed these mangels that were chopped up.
In each house there would have been the open fire, you know, the open grate or the hearth, or a black Stanley range, along with a 16 stone bag of meal for porridge. Now this could have been Indian meal. Accompanying this was another 16 stone bag of flour for baking scones, and a crockery jar, or as they called it, a crock, capable of holding 10 gallons of milk. This was used for drinking, cooking, or kept for churning, taking the cream off for churning and butter making. Now the village pump, or the well, supplied clear crystal water, and its only downside was that in 1947 you probably had to break the ice off it to get the water out, but as well it had to be carried in large white buckets, maybe some places for near a mile. Outside of the house there had been a 45 gallon drum for paraffin oil, and this was used for to light the lamp, the oil lamps of the time. There was no electricity to break down then.
Selling the electricity was a problem to the likes of, say, Woolley out in this house here. They'd have sworn that it burnt the house down. And the tea didn't taste the same out of the electric kettle.
Most of the houses were thatched, which meant that a deep covering of about 3 feet of straw insulation kept the heat from escaping through the roof, and the 3 foot thick walls ensured that no heat escaped through the walls either, or no cold got in. Now the cattle, horses and sheep would have been safely ensconced in the outhouses, safe from the severe winds and snow.
As part of the usual winter preparations that took place after all the autumn work was completed, the drains throughout the village would have been cleaned out of all debris, thus allowing waste and any other water to escape and not flood the streets like what happens now. Never was the old Irish saying, "Ye hae land the geeha land the scallop," or in English, "The day of the wind is not the day for the ropes." In other words, you'd left it a wee bit late now, and Willie the pet would have left it kind of late if the gale had got up, and he was up and trying to get up on this roof to tie straw ropes down. And all the normal preventative autumn work was proving its worth. So there was the situation that the average household found itself in coming into the winter season in Ireland of the 1940s.